I hope you enjoyed that interview that we just had there with Ron. Let's take some time and discuss some of the things that Ron was sharing with us. If you'll notice in the beginning of the interview, Ron did not set out to build this empire. In other words, Ron didn't say when he was 10 years old or when he was a teenager, you know what, I'm going to build this suntan lotion empire. What he did do, though, he always had his metal detectors on. He was always looking for a better way of life. He did not know what vehicle that he was going to use to get there, but at least he had his metal detectors on. So what about you? If you're not in business or if you haven't figured out what it is that you're going to do, do you at least have your metal detectors on? Are you constantly looking for opportunities? And that's what Ron did. When he found what he wanted to do, then he went ahead and pursued it. An interesting thing, though, that he said, that when he got started, how much business education did he have? He had nothing. No business education or background. You know, I have so many people that will come to me and say, Gary, I don't know if I can really do this. I have no education. I have no knowledge. I don't even know what I'm doing. Well, you think Ron knew what he was doing? Do you think Ron, when he was, whatever, was 24 years old when he got started, do you think he knew how to run over $200 million empire? Of course not. He started one step at a time. Once he got started, though, one thing he did say, he believed that he could make a product that was comparable or better than what was already on the market. So that was a very good point that he made there, and he obviously proved that to be true. He took risk, though, didn't he? He went to Hawaii. He found the cheapest fare. He didn't have the money to do it. And what did he do over there? He went looking for clues. See, he went with those people that they had the coconuts and they were making the oils. He was looking for clues. He wanted to learn. And that's what you have to do. You've got to constantly look for clues, constantly look for ways to learn more. And then how did he get started? He started with a garbage can. I mean, how cheap can you get? He didn't have any money. What about you? You want to get started into something. Don't feed your mind that you have to have all this money and it takes thousands and millions and hundreds of thousands of dollars to get started. Ron started with a simple, cheap garbage can. And I bet you he probably didn't even own it. It was probably his dad's. Now let's keep going. Notice too that when Ron got started in his business, he said he had a lot of what? Yes, he had a lot of time. You'll find many times when we start something new, especially in business, we usually have a lot more time than we do money. So he took advantage of that time. He only worked about 3 hours a day. Not hardly. He honestly admit that he would do 20 hours a day, 15, 18 hours a day, and that's what you have to do. Sometimes you've got to really pay the piper, and you're not going to do it if you're only going to work 1 hour a week or 1 hour a day. Another thing that I found that was very interesting that Ron admitted to, and he didn't say it directly, but he actually put his pride aside. And here's what he did to show that. He knocked on doors. He would do whatever it took to get a sale. He went from person to person, from beach to beach, to store, to door, and you have to do that. You know, some people say, oh, I'm not going to do that. There's no way. I'm not going to pass flyers out or make phone calls or call people. That's beneath me. Well, then if it's beneath you, you're probably going to get the paycheck that relates to that type of attitude. So Ron was willing to put his pride aside, and he did whatever it took to get the job done. And I've had to do it, and I'm probably sure you're doing it if you already haven't. And I hated to do it. I'll admit that. I remember trying to sell tickets to my seminars. I'd go from one business to another business, and I would sell nothing. It got so bad, I would literally give my tickets away, and still no one showed up. I then asked Ron how long did it take for him to really feel that he became successful. Remember what his answer was? He said he didn't feel that he hit the big time, as he called it, till about 7 years. Now, let's elaborate on this. If you're in business, my question to you is, how long have you been in business? A lot of people think they can just invest a small amount of money, and in a matter of 1 or 2 months, they're going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars or thousands and thousands of dollars. Is that reasonable? No. It took Ron 7 years, and I can promise you it wasn't 40 hours a week either. He paid his dues. He put in his time. So be reasonable about your success. Don't feel that you're going to be successful after 6 months in business or 1 year. It usually takes many, many years. And then after the 7 years that Ron started feeling successful, what'll happen? Well, the success got quicker and faster. Same thing with you. When you get to a certain level, once you hit that certain level, then it becomes easier financially doesn't become easier with problems, but it does become easier financially, and the ball really starts to get rolling. But you have to work and pay your dues until you get to that point. I then asked Ron about the hard times. I wanted him to relate to us what it took to get to that level or the level that he's at. What did he have to go through? And he related to us that he had to go through people cheating him, which unfortunately was a shame, but that's part of reality, isn't it? But I could tell because of the things that he has gone through, the fact that people has cheated Ron, he truly knows how to analyze people, as he says. He knows how to read them, he knows their motivations, and you can tell that's definitely a strength of his. And why would that be important for Ron? Well, if he doesn't know how to motivate his people, if he doesn't know what pushes their buttons, how is he going to get them to push forward toward the company's goals? So I believe because of the people that cheated him and he learned from all that, he learned now how to read people. He learned how to bring the right people within his loop. And I can tell he's got that figured out because he basically has his office in his house. And because of the things that Ron has learned in the past with regards to people cheating him, and no doubt it was very expensive for him, but because of what he's been through, he's now enabled himself to have the ability to pick the right people so he can walk away from things and have them run their departments. And he doesn't have to constantly micromanage people. So you can see he's definitely a master at delegating. Remember, you can only be a master at delegating and let people go once you give them things to do if you know that they're competent and you've hired the right people. So Ron makes sure he hires the right people. He doesn't hire people that he thinks are going to cheat on him. He doesn't hire people that he thinks he's going to have to micromanage. So good point. Very important to remember. So what about you? Do you develop a pattern of having the right people around you? Whether you're in business or not, do you have people who are always discouraged and depressed and people who, you know, why are you going to do this? This is stupid. You're going to start your own business? How ridiculous is that? We all don't need people like that around us. Another thing that it was evident to me in talking to Ron, when he brings people into his organization, especially the key people, he's looking for longevity. He's got people that's been working with him when he started in the 60s. So he's looking for people that want to stay with him. He's looking for loyal people. He's looking for people that are willing to make a commitment. Another interesting thing that I thought that Ron shared with us in the interview was he said that having no money was a blessing to him. Now how many of you are listening to this program thinking, wait a minute, I'm kind of in that position. How can that be a blessing? Well, how was it a blessing to Ron? What did he learn from having no money when he got started in his business? It taught Ron to maximize every penny. You remember what he said? He never took a penny that he couldn't get a return on it. He never spent a penny unless he would make sure he got a return. So he would buy maybe two bottles or sell two bottles of lotion, and then he would take that money and then go ahead and buy four and sell four and go to 8 to 16 and 32. So a lot of times when we don't have money when we get started, we really learn to penny pinch. And because of that, you can really learn to manage your money more than maybe people who just have tons of money who get started and maybe they get that silver spoon in their mouth. So there are some advantages. There are some blessings, as Ron mentioned or said, there are some blessings to starting a business without having money. I enjoy, too, the creative marketing that happened to him because his product got into stores like Macy's and some of the high-end stores. And he mentioned that he couldn't advertise, so he got this co-op. Now, he said he was lucky, but when you think about it, it was because of his move that he hired the right person up north that got the connection, that got them in the magazine, that got the business to go forward that much more. So things can only happen to you. You can only get quote-unquote lucky, if you will, if you're going forward. Ron and his team are always going forward. What about you? Are you always going forward? Or are you just sitting around waiting for things to happen? It's not going to work that way. You've got to keep looking for opportunities, keep looking for ideas, even though you don't have the financial capital. Keep talking, keep learning, keep moving forward. Doors will open up if you're there. If you're not there, sitting down, doing nothing, they're not going to open up for you. When I asked Ron how he dealt with losing an account, he had an excellent answer, and I'm going to tell you there's a lot to what he said, even though it's only about four words. He said, oh, they just come and go. It's not just what he said, but how he said that. I can promise you, if I had asked Ron years ago when he just got started in his business and he lost an account, and I said to him, hey, Ron, how do you deal with losing an account? He would probably say exactly what most people say when they're new into business and lose an account. Oh, man, you get all this money from one company and then you lose it. Now you have to struggle to get some more. But notice what he said. Just nonchalantly, he said, oh, they come and go. How can he say it so nonchalantly? The reason he can say it this way is no doubt in the past he's lost accounts, it's hurt him, but he starts to see with experience that this is part of business. They come and go. So what does that mean? Well, the person that says, hey, we don't want your account anymore, get out of here. What happens? Eventually they quit, they get fired, they die, and Ron goes back in, or his salespeople, they try it again, they get the account again, they come and go. Good attitude. You can only develop that attitude with experience. You can only get that experience if you're willing to go through the hard times and lose some of the accounts. I love the fact, too, that Ron made a conscious decision to hire people who were what? The 2H philosophy, I call it. He hired people early in the game that were hungry and humble. Interesting concept. And remember, I asked him again, you consciously made that decision, Ron? And he said, yes. So he's looking for people who are hungry financially, and he's looking for people who are humble. In other words, people who are teachable, people who wouldn't let the business get to their head. And what happens when they did? Well, you notice what he says in the interview, he got rid of them, or they ended up reading or believing their own press, as he calls it. Very interesting concept. So you think about that. If you're wanting to bring people on your team, and of course, I don't know exactly what business that you're in. Maybe you're network marketing. You're looking for downline. What are you looking for? You're going to look for two things, the 2H philosophy. You're looking for people who are hungry, and you're going to look for people who are humble, people who are willing to learn from you and then take that knowledge and grow. I'm presently working with two clients. It's a husband and wife team, and they flew down from Idaho to spend an hour and a half with me as I consulted with them in their business. And they've got this 2H philosophy. They're hungry, and they're already making hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in business a year. They're also humble. In other words, they were willing to let me teach them strategies and ideas to get them to go to that next level. So remember that, the 2H philosophy, hungry and humble. I was also intrigued by Ron's willingness, even to this day in the position he's already at now, to continue to learn and want to grow. A big thing for him that he said that he enjoys is learning from the world's movers and shakers. I can only imagine the type of people and the caliber of people he's got to talk to and learn from them as they share ideas back and forth. What a privilege it must be to listen in to some of that. So in a way, Ron also has his own coaches and his own mentors. Perhaps that's why he allowed me to do this interview with him, knowing that he's got something that he can share, and maybe now Ron will become your mentor and your coach because of the information that he shared. And there's information that he's given to us in this interview that I personally will remember forever, and I'll constantly look for things that he's doing or things that I think that he might do, and maybe I'll ask myself, how would Ron do this? What would he do in this particular situation? And that's why we need coaches and mentors. So, do you have a coach and a mentor? Always look for people that are at a higher level than you are, or somebody that's doing something that you want to do, and learn from them. You think about all the athletes that are out there, people that are the best in the business. One thing they all have in common, they have coaches and mentors. So I hope that's really one of the great reasons, or the biggest reasons, that you're listening to this program, so you can learn from some of my mentors, and maybe I'm your mentor also, but that you can learn from some of these people and learn how to do things a little smarter and how to shave the learning curve off of your business. Because as you are well aware, it's a challenge out there. And if you can have people that's already been there, as Ron said, learn from their mistakes and also from their glories, that's going to be a great advantage to us, especially in whatever it is that we're doing in our business. When I had asked Ron about his weaknesses, he was very quick to tell me that he had no courses or no experience in business training, no education, no college in business, and so forth. So what about you? And this is something we've already tapped on in the beginning of this particular part here, but do you allow the fact that you don't have any quote-unquote education to stop you? Well, you really shouldn't. Think about it. I think just about every millionaire mentor that we've got on this program, not one of them had any type of business training or college education. Isn't that interesting? I remember when I got started in this business, and this is not a joke, I kid you not, I could not spell the word success. I always got confused if it was S-U-C-E-S-S or S-U-C-C-E-S. And neither one was right. It's S-U-C-C-E-S-S. And it took me forever to figure that out. And even though I did not know how to spell the word success, I was still teaching success strategies to other people. So don't feel that you have to have a certain level of education. And the best way to learn it is to what? Do it and learn from your mistakes. I think you might be very intrigued or surprised as to how many successful people, especially in business, have had no or very, very little educational knowledge or training with regards to how to run their business. They usually learn it one step at a time as their business grew. And I was the same way. I learned and started my first business at 11, my second business at 15, and I knew nothing about it. I learned from people. I learned from my mistakes. You want to make sure you have that same mentality. Don't think that you have to have this much education or this much knowledge or experience before you can go forward. Just go forward, make the mistakes, and you'll find that if you're willing to at least do that, you will get the results. But if you're not willing to go forward, you can't get those results. Recall to his comment when I asked him if he was hands-on with regards to his business. And he said, "Gary, I have really, really good people working for me now." Notice he didn't say, "I have real good people." He really emphasized that. He said, "I have really, really," twice, "really, really good people." Now, that doesn't happen by chance. So how do you get really good people? You have to hire and fire and hire and fire and hire and fire. One of my mentors tells me that they have to go through nearly 100 people to find maybe 10 out of that are good people. Imagine that. I remember when I was growing my business and I'm trying to think, well, am I being unrealistic getting rid of these people because I felt that didn't have a high standard as I did. And they were saying, well, you know, you're just this and you're just that. So I called them up and I said, look, what do you guys have to do? How many people do you have to hire and fire to get really, really good people? And they said they've got to get and go through 100 people. And I'm thinking, well, I just only have gone through like 3 or 4. I've got a long way to go. So think about that. When Ron started his business, I can promise you that when he started with 10 or 20 people, that all 10 or 20 of those people were just great, really, really good people, as he calls them. No, he had to hire and fire. Some of them, as he mentioned in the interview, cheated on him. So, boom, he had to get rid of them. So he had to keep on sifting till he got those really, really good people. Now, once you found these really, really good people, what do you do with them? Well, you do what Ron does with them. He delegates. What's interesting, he openly admits at first he found it hard to delegate. Why might that be? Well, when we first start our own business, what do we usually do? We usually have to do what? Everything. We have 100 hats. We're the manager. We're the salesperson. We're the bookkeeper. We're this. We're that. We're product development. I mean, you can just get exhausted doing this. So when you're used to wearing all these hats and you start bringing in people under you, you have a hard time often delegating because you may think they're not going to do as good of a job as you're going to do, but you got to let go. And Ron is able to let go. One of the things that you'll find in common with all these millionaire mentors on this program, they have mastered the ability to delegate. They don't micromanage, and if they do micromanage, they probably are going to get rid of those people because those people say they're going to do certain things, but they don't follow through on them. They are looking for people who they can give some responsibilities to. They take charge with those responsibilities and make sure they're followed through and they're done. There's no question in Ron's mind or these other millionaire mentors, are these things being done? Because he has the right people to make sure they do get the job done. Now, there's no way that Ron and these other millionaire mentors in this program could build their businesses at the level that they build them to if they did not master, not just delegate, but master the ability to delegate. I was recently on one of my Learjet incentive programs, and there was a gentleman with me who unfortunately decided instead of enjoying the day, he would call the office to see what's going on. So he called the office and, you know, there were some problems. He hung up the phone. He was obviously a little disappointed with regards to what happened. So he wanted to share some of this information with me. So he told me a little bit about what was going on, and I said to him, there's two thought processes or philosophies, if you will, that you may want to consider. And he was sharing with me how he had a particular person working with him that every time he tried to tell them something, they would never admit it, so they could never change. So I said to him, remember this, you cannot change what you don't acknowledge. So if you're trying to share something with somebody and say, look, it's got to be done this way because you're doing it this way, and they say, oh, no, no, I'm doing it that way, and they're just constantly in denial, remember, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So if you've got a person who's not willing to acknowledge what they're doing is wrong, then they can't what? Then they can't change. The second principle, if you can't change the people, then change the people. Think about that one. And Ron no doubt had to do that. If people wouldn't change, you'd have to get rid of them till he got those really, really good people. Now he can delegate what he needs to those people, knowing that they will follow through in whatever it is that he assigned them to do. And now he can focus on his strengths. Recall what his strengths were. He was strong into the public image of the company. He was strong into publicity and marketing. That's what his strengths are, and that is what he focuses on. Did you note Ron's work ethics when he first started his business? He said he had little sleep and he only spent money on what would bring him a return. Very important. And he would work 18 hours a day. So what about you? If you're just starting your business, are you willing to put in the time that it takes to get to that level? You've got to. You can't just put in an hour here and an hour there. The next thing, what about spending money? Are you putting money into your business that's going to bring you a return? Tangible things that you can buy and sell. Education, such as a program like this. You've got to make sure you've got to put that money in that's going to bring you a return because you have very little of it. Remember, you've got more time than money, so utilize that time. Work it hard and then take advantage of what little money that you do have. Do what Ron did. Make sure it's going to bring you a return. So now Ron's created this empire. Do you think now that he only works 1 or 2 hours a day? Absolutely not. He admits and he tells us there's times that he works at 3 o'clock in the morning or he's up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Granted, he's at the point that his schedule doesn't have to be so stringent and so tight. He can wake up when he wants and go to bed when he wants, but he still will put in the time. By the way, that means he's still what? He's still hands-on. So you've got to still put in the time. Even me, I've been in this business for years, but I got in this morning at 5 a.m. to get started. So you've got to keep working hard at it. Granted, it's going to be easier as you go later, but be willing to put in the time if you need to. I enjoyed also listening to the things that motivated Ron. Remember what they were? It was his daughter and his employees. I'm going to have to interview his daughter if she keeps on doing all those movies. Now, he didn't focus on himself. He didn't say, well, you know, I wanted to get this and a big house and a car and a Ferrari and this and that. Granted, as he mentioned in the beginning of the interview, he did focus on wanting a better life, but he also created a balance there. He also knew, too, that he had a very weighty responsibility with, remember what he had? He had over 2,000 employees, and he also knows that they have families and they have expenses and so forth. So that was an excellent point that I noticed that he said, too. He said, if you only focus on yourself, that person's going to be very lonely or be a very lonely person in the long run. Interesting. So what about you? Are you always focusing on you, me? Perhaps that's why he still has that humble type attitude. He focuses on getting a better life, not just for himself, but the people that work for him. At the end of the interview, I asked Ron an interesting question. And the question was, do you think that you're better than other people? I mean, hey, you're doing over $200 million a year. And he had a good answer for that, and I could tell that he wasn't just giving me words, he really meant it. He knew what his strengths are, and he openly admitted just because he had a lot of money, that doesn't make him better than other people. There are certain things that he is better at than other people, but he also acknowledges there's other things that other people are a lot better at than he is. So Ron also admits that money doesn't buy happiness. You know, what's interesting with that statement, I have found that the only people that believe money buys happiness are the people who had never had money. Now, he does acknowledge that having money does make misery a lot easier to handle. In listening to Ron and how he responded to some of the questions, you can also tell that he's really used to the up and down cycles of business. As he calls it, cash rich and cash poor. If you're in business for yourself, but you haven't been in it a long time, those ups and down cycles will take a long time to get used to, but you have to focus on getting used to them. If not, they can ruin you, especially mentally and physically. Remember, Ron's been in business since the 1960s, and when you stay in it long enough, you will be able to handle the ups and downs. Well, let's take some time now and quickly do a review of this interview. When Ron started in his own business, he did not know what he was going to do to be successful. He knew he'd find something. He also started with a what? A garbage can. He took risks to go to Hawaii to find out how they use their oils. He also recognized that it would take some time and effort. So he put his pride away. He knocked on doors. He did whatever it took to get the job done. He didn't reach his level of real big time until it was about 7 years. So it's not going to happen overnight. We've got to work at it. It's going to take a long time. He made sure he looked for the right people to work for him. He didn't want people who would cheat him. He wanted people who would be really committed. He was looking for long-term players. Ron also believed that it was a blessing starting out in his business without any money. Good concept to keep in mind. He also didn't start off early in his business with a lot of money for marketing strategies and plans, but because he went forward, a lot of them were created. Remember what his response was when he lost an account because of his experience. It's, they just come and go. Good attitude to have. He also did the 2H philosophy when he was looking for people to work with him. Remember what they were. They were hungry and humble. Look for those type of people. People who are hungry, want to do more. People who are teachable, they're humble. I was also intrigued by his willingness to continue to learn, even at the level he's at now. He's still learning from people. He also was willing to admit to his weaknesses in business. Because Ron has chosen the right people, really, really good people to work with him, he can delegate where he can handle and focus on his strengths. Also, don't forget his work ethics. He slept very little, and anything that he invested in his business, he made sure it would do what? He made sure it would bring him a return. And he was very motivated, of course, by his daughter, and I was very intrigued that his motivation also is that of his employees, recognizing they too have children that they want to send to college or they have goals also. So very good, important points to think about. I hope you've taken this information to heart. See what you can do to learn from it. See what you can do to use some of this information to help you while you're on your journey of success. It wouldn't hurt to listen to these programs over and over again because you'll always get something from them. Now, if you'd like to express some thoughts about this interview that I've had with Ron Rice, feel free to email me, and I'll be more than happy to make sure Ron gets them.